IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Kazem Ali Himani and Sheikh Qasim. Assalamu alaikum to both of you and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome back there.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about a big question, and that is the compatibility between religion or religious beliefs and science. As we know, most of the scientists are concerned with the objective findings. For example, throughout the history, the objective sciences, which are done in laboratories or are done in the field of study or something like that. As we can find in the religious studies, you know, we are mainly concerned with the divinity or with the divine, the supernatural powers, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of this. At the first glance, it might look that there is no compatibility between religious beliefs and science or scientific beliefs. The method is up in the minds of the people, especially of the 21st century, who are, as you can see, busy with different materialistic things around. And the case is that they expect the science to answer all their questions in terms of their body and their mind, you know. And they do that. But when they get to the religion and religious beliefs, they say, this is something ancient, this is something archaic. We cannot, for example, expect a religious belief who was revealed, for example, at least 1,400 years ago to solve our problems today. What's your answer to that?
Actually, you know, I think the problem is even deeper than that. You know, nowadays we are encountering a new phenomenon called new atheism or, you know, the scientific atheism. Unfortunately, this type of atheism, actually, we had the atheism throughout history. But that one, you know, the old one was normally a sort of philosophical or metaphysical atheism.
We got even Church of Science today.
Yeah. Okay. So that one was, you know, normally based on philosophical argumentations or refuting scientific philosophical argumentations of the other side. Mm-hmm. But this one is a sort of, you know, as you said, the worshipper of science, or they call this trend as scientism. So they sort of, you know, believe that the only thing that could be confirmed and could be understood as a real thing is what that be, you know, observed or experimented upon. So this is unfortunately the problem that we have nowadays, and they are sort of dismiss all sorts of metaphysical or supernatural things that might exist over there. So I think there are a number of answers or replies that we can actually provide them with. One of them is that even though that they may claim that they are sort of evading metaphysics and, you know, things that are supernatural, but they themselves, you know, when they are talking about science, they are presuming, you know, and they have many assumptions based on metaphysics. For example, the logic that they are using that is completely metaphysical, you know, you cannot prove logics by experiment, you know, that's based on the way that human being thinks, and, you know, and there are many actually presumptions and assumptions that are using in new sciences, even though that they try to dismiss all sorts of, you know, metaphysical.
Isn't it because of lack of understanding or recognition of the power of Allah and divinity? Because I've heard some of these new atheists and these atheists, you know, who are very much nowadays, if you Google it, you know, they are really active on the world. Say, we do not understand divinity and the supernatural powers, but at least we can be successful understanding the materialistic world around.
No, the problem, as I mentioned, the problem is the way that they approach towards things, you know, and they call it the philosophy of science. So the foundations that they are laying out there in order for, you know, acquiring knowledge, the only foundation to them that could be laid out is just, you know, the observable foundations and whatever that could be experimented. So if you talk about something supernatural, that is beyond natural, you know, nature, so that is nothing to them. You know, that's you're talking nonsense. So the first step that we have to take encountering these people is, you know, to break this foundation that they're making. You know, the way that they approach the world is not limited just to natural things. This naturalism that they are talking about, sometimes they call it, even some of them, to our surprise, some of them may even believe in God, you know. But they say the way that we approach science must be just materialistic. So they call it methodological naturalism. But I don't see that. How can they go on, you know, with their belief in God with that methodological naturalism? So if you ask them, how do you believe in the miracles? So, you know, you're a believer. We have these people. Let me just name one of them. There's a famous person. Actually, he used to be an atheist, but he converted to Christianity and he became a theist. Francis Collins. He's a very famous person. Book of, you know, The Language of God. And so, you know, this person is a methodological naturalist. But, you know, I'm wondering how this such a person can answer the miracles that happened, you know, by the hand of prophets of Allah, prophets of God, you know, throughout history.
So some of them some of these atheists through their, you know, experiments, could not find the answer to so many questions and find this complexity, for example, of the brain, of the mind, of the galaxies around, And at last, they believe in the superpower.
No, actually, more fundamental than that. First of all, the presumption that science can answer all our questions and, you know, in our day-to-day life. Or, look, there's so many questions that science is still not aware of. It just can't find an answer to it. For example, where did the first single cell come from, right? There is no answer to it. You Google it, you go to NASA, you go to any university, look for that answer. They don't know the answer. And they say it very clearly. We don't know where the first single cell came from. Okay. They have many theories about it, but none of them really fills that gap. They still don't know where the first cell came from. Point number two, about the dark matter, they're not able to come to a conclusion what the dark matter is all about. If that explosion happened with a mini difference, nothing would have come into existence. So how come that precision took place at that time? They have no answer to that. More than that, let me tell you, actually, you know, if you just give it a little thought, you would realize that this theories that they have come up with, the Big Bang theory and the evolution theory, this is nothing other than religion. Look, when you talk about science, we say science, all the actions or the experiments that you do, either they are observable, and then you should be able to recreate them in your lab. Right? And then the results should be same. And when that happens, then you call that science. All right, great. Look, let's look at evolution. Who observed it? No one observed it, right? Can you recreate it in your lab?
You're talking about Charles Darwin theory now?
Yeah, let's. I'm just giving you an example that why science is actually not science. And it's basically a faith system that they're believing in. And then they turn around and question the religion. We say, okay, evolution. Did you observe it? No, we didn't observe it. All right. Can you recreate it? No, we can't recreate it because it takes a long time. Fair enough. So now you can't observe it, you can't recreate it, and you are not sure that it'll give you the exact same results, right? Yes. So then how do you believe in evolution? We have signs in front of us. What signs? We saw the bones of dinosaurs, we saw the skeletal structure, the fossils, and blah, blah, blah. All right. Okay. And based on the science, we believe in something called evolution. Well, that's what religion is all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look, you're not able to find me. You're not able to believe in me. Look at the signs around you. Look at the signs and believe in me. And that's what they're doing. They're looking at the signs of all these fossils around them and then believing in something called religion. So this is basically a belief system. Where is your empirical data here? Where is your positivist approach here that, look, this is what it is? No, you can't recreate it. You can't observe it. So basically, that is also a faith system, but they have some data in their hand and they want to call it science and they question us for believing in something based upon science.
When we get to the text of the Holy Quran, we can find the story of the creation and Adam and Eve, you know, with the creation of the world. But the case is that sometimes I myself believe that the believing people around the world, including the Muslims, expect the Holy Quran to answer all the scientific questions. And this is not good, I think. I mean, from a book of the guidance, you expect it to answer your daily questions, your routine Correct. Life questions, okay? Of course, there are so many laws over there, Islamic rulings over there, you know? But the great thing is that, you know, I think you are taking it wrong. You are taking the wrong way and you are taking the wrong path. The case is that the scholars of the Islam during the history trusted in the Holy Quran, the prophetic tradition and ahadith, the infallible imams, their conduct. At the same time, they did not stand still. They researched and studied a lot, and we can find it in the life story of so many of the scholars.
Correct.
A new world, because of the basira, because of that, you know, light that were into their mind and heart, was open to them. Yes. And this is the true enlightenment, I think, the enlightenment from inside, not the 18th, 17th century enlightenment of the West, putting religion aside, and then everything will be lightened for you. Isn't it, Sheikh Hassan?
Yeah, actually, I believe that, you know, going back to that compatibility or incompatibility of religion and science, you know, we may say that, you know, even though that with respect to science, we're not always sure, and that actually they themselves say that we are not trying to be, you know, certain about things. We are just, you know, try to sort of judge about our hypothesis based on the evidence that we have. So, you know, what I understand is that, you know, we cannot, we're not actually forced to sort of see that there is a sort of, I don't know, a sort of independence, for, you know, relationship between religion and science, because they normally say there are four types of relationship that you may, you know, believe existing between science and religion. This is compatibility, incompatibility, dialogue, and independence. And sometimes, you know, some religious people, they think that it's a sort of independence relationship between these two. I don't believe so. I believe that there is a dialogue, or even there is a sort of you know, witnessing from both sides, you know, to the other. So, you know, for example, we nowadays actually, since maybe 40 years ago, up until now, we have some scientific evidence for, you know, approving and confirming the God hypothesis.
Recently, there has been a book, a French book, you know, by Michel-Yves Ballouret and Olivier Bonacieux, you know, about 1,600 pages, you know, God, Science, and Its Proofs, Advent of a Revolution. It was written in French. This is the bestseller book, you know, and these two outstanding scholars.
And it's not just that book. Actually, there are many other books. There is another book, The Return of God, The Return of God Hypothesis, written by Stephen C. Meyer. Actually, you know, we have this fine-tuning argument for the existence of God, which is one of the very beautiful, you know, evidences or arguments, new arguments, another, you know, renovated way of, you know, argument from design, actually, which is so beautiful. And it's actually using, there are three, four premises. In the first premise, it's using the you know, the quantum physics, cosmology, and giving some evidence that the whole world is finely and, you know, so strictly fine-tuned in order for life to exist over there. And then in the second premise, it talks about, you know, probability theory and, you know, evaluate the hypothesis that could explain those fine-tuned, you know, constants of physics or natural laws and things like that.
Yes.
And, you know, consider all those hypotheses. And then at the end, the result of that argument, it reaches to this result that the best explanation, actually they call it the IBE, the inference to the best explanation that is used nowadays in science, is the design hypothesis. So, you know, we see that, you know, even science can not only not being in conflict with religion, but also confirming and giving more force to, you know, religious teachings.
Okay, thank you very much. We are done for today's discussion. We are out of time. If you got any final remarks, we've got about 1 minute, Sheikh.
Well, I think in just last 1 minute, I would say that let's keep this misunderstanding aside that religion and science are incompatible. While Islam has been promoting knowledge and research and scientific development. So look at it as a subset, science being a subset of religion, because religion deals with two dimensions. And people who feel that religion is not supporting science is a misunderstanding, is a misconception. People can get into science and be a professor and be an innovator or be a scientist and continue to be a monotheist. And
that's all right.
There is no contradiction in it. So I am actually, I hope many people, youth particularly, get attracted towards science and go and do research and all that while remaining on the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, inshallah.
That's all right. And which one is more important? I mean, having knowledge of your very matter or your soul, you know, and you have a world within yourself as the best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to discover it more and more and to find where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is the place of divinity inside you. They can, I can find the center of the world and the galaxy, inshallah, in you yourself as a human being. The best creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, thank you very much, Shaykh Qasim and Shaykh Qasim Ali Himani. It was very kind of you to be present in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information on this program and on other episodes of this program, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside, I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.